take some audience questions. If we'd like to do a little Q&A, if you guys want to stick around for a little while. Anybody want to start off? Yeah, great.
Was it hard to have this story, so this marriage drive, one and a half, and balance that with, you know, wanting to have poems, which, you know, was that hard balance to have poetry with this you know, narrative drive?
Well, that's generally my tendency, is towards the narrative. So I think the difficult part was getting the history inside, trying to balance the history with the imagination, so to speak, and try and slip in the little cracks there. That was actually the best thing about choosing Lead Belly as a subject, because people are kind of vaguely familiar with Lead Belly, but he still kind of exists in a mythic way in our imagination.
Who are you
going to
do next?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see about that. We'll see. Any other? Yeah.
How long did it take to research?
It took 5 years to write and research the book. So I was basically trying to look up everything I possibly could about Lead Belly, everywhere I could. And I'm also very slow. Yes and yes.
I'm wondering whether when you started out, you wrote some poems either about Lead Belly or in one of the voices, and then got drawn more deeply into it, or did you conceive of the project as a whole and then start the research?
No, it kind of snuck up on me. At first I read his biography, and I only wrote a few poems about it. And they were all from Lead Belly's perspective. Then it just kind of started growing and growing and growing. So I did not plan on writing a whole book. It was just kind of a whim, and it kind of just ended up growing.
So did some of those first poems end up in the
book? Oh yeah.
Can you tell us which
ones? I can't. Probably the ones. Probably one of the earliest ones. The very first one was called Runagate. It's where he escaped from prison once, and they were tracking him down, and they chased him with some hound dogs. So he went in the middle of Red River. He's trying to cross the river, and the dogs started swimming out to get the guy in the middle of the river, and so he drowned the dog, which nearly cost him his life, because probably the sheriff was going to kill him. But then, you know, he had to make a decision whether he was going to drown himself or whether he was going to come back. So that was actually the very first poem that he had such an interesting life. There were so many points to start off with. Yeah.
So you're an English professor. Do you perform for your students?
Generally, I don't really try and bring my own work into my classes. I have done readings on my campus. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to bore my students too much. You know, they might resent that if I made them buy my. That's a good idea though. Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you're in the process of writing poems, you have a concept or an idea of how you're going to perform them or read them as you're writing, or is it kind of something that is conceived after you're finished?
I don't really know exactly how I'm going to read them until I am done writing them. But I imagine that, you know, after I finish a poem, I always read it aloud through every draft, you know. So probably they kind of form simultaneously. But the question is always, to me, is always, how will somebody else read them without me being there? Which is much more important. So, I'm really primarily concerned with whether or not somebody understands exactly what's going on and understands. And even if I have some illusions, if they can get the poem without completely understanding all the illusions and still be impacted. Yes.
I wonder about the what's next part, which is when you've worked on a project which has a conceptual framework.
Right.
This does. Is there is it difficult to make transitions into writing poems where you're not in those inhabited voices?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, the thing about writing this book was it was its own aesthetic in a way. So it has been kind of hard switching over. It's been a couple years now, so I'm out of that phase. But I still seem to be inhabited, particularly by jazz and blues, in the way that I come to the work, and that topic is fascinating for me. So I think that it's just one of those things I have to work out. There's gonna be some of Lead Belly in the next thing that I write. I think that's inevitable, but I think that it's going to be a different shade of on a different subject, you know. And those are the things I'm working on now. It'll probably be less narrative.
More lyrical.
Yeah, more lyrical. Cuz it was, you know, after you work with a subject for so long, you can really get kind of tired of it. And you know, you kind of want
to put yourself in a box and yeah.
Right, right. So I'm just experimenting right now. Yeah.
As you're writing the book, did you find that the voices of each of the individuals kind of suggested their own form, or you know?
Yeah, they did. Well, they did because Lead Belly, through the first almost 2/3 of the book is all in prose. Yeah. Every one of his poems looks like a big cement block. And then after he got out of jail the second time, he kind of freed himself up. And I felt that Lead was the primary person that should be writing in that block form. There's one or two other people. I think his father speaks like that, and Blind Lemon Jefferson. But their voices did speak differently in the form that they take and in the language that they inhabited. You know, I had much more vocabulary to choose from with John Lomax. So that's an interesting question, because that did happen. The primary problem is trying to make them sound different. You know, so yeah, in the back. Two more? Yeah. Yeah.
How much of Lead Belly's music influenced your poems and was it mostly narrative?
It was his music influenced the poems quite a bit, but you know, I am probably more of a blues. I identify more with the blues than I do with folk music in particular. And Lead was primarily a folk musician, and I'd say secondarily a blues musician. So it's. I think that it worked. What I was trying to do is I was trying to kind of envision a blues aesthetic while I envisioned Lead Belly at the same time. And that's the only way I was able to get to the bottom of his story. And there was one more. Who is it? Oh, okay, I guess there isn't. Well, oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Well, first let me say thank you for sharing the portion of the essay.
Thank you.
It was pretty amazing.
Thanks.
And second, like, this might be a little too forward, but do you remember any of your slam pieces? Would you mind?
You know, I wish I could. If I could, I would. But you know what? The hardest thing about slam for me was memorization. Not the hardest thing, but it took me days and days and weeks. And I did those things for a long time, but I just don't have them up in my head anymore. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. But just speaking of slam, it really influenced me. I met some great people and some great poets through slam. And it really made me think about ways to translate from the page to the stage and back and forth. So it was a really, really instrumental experience for me. I'm really just really proud to have been part of it on two Green Mill Slam teams, where slam started in Chicago. It's true. So look, I just want to say that this has been a fantastic audience. I had a most stimulating conversation with students over lunch, which was a very delicious lunch. And you have been a fantastic audience. Thank you very much for bringing me out here. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And I just want to give props to Fish House for doing this incredible work that they're doing. If you haven't checked out the Fish House website, you really need to. Because how many? There's 700. There's 700 recordings. There's 700 recordings out of, and there's how many poets?
Over 100 poets now.
Over 100 poets. I don't think that there is another place on the web where you can, and there's, I don't think there's any other place, period. I think that's easy. That's pretty legitimate. Where you can access so many poets so easily and so readily, and hear interviews with them and get behind their creative process. It really is just, I mean, it's the fact that the internet has brought us to these capabilities, and this, and math has exploited it for poetry. No, it makes me jump up and down. So,
that's a good book.
Thank you.